Woohoo!
We fucked it up. Damn. We'll try it again. Right.
What do we say?
Ooh.
The Marvels Runaways.
The Marvels Runaways. We watched it. Yay. Okay. Right.
Just singing the song.
That's okay. True. Oh,
so episode 201.
Woo. We broke the 200 barrier.
Mm-hmm. We broke the seal.
That's right. And the only reason we are playing Bon Jovi is because we watched the first three episodes of Marvel's Runaways.
Yes. Ooh. Marvel's The Runaways. If you're looking for it on Hulu, it's Marvel's The Runaways.
Yeah. If you just put Runaways in, it doesn't know what to
It'll
do
be like,
with that.
We don't know what that show is. We're like, really? Really? Okay.
Marvel's The Runaways.
All right. So who wants to start off with a little recap about what this is about?
So Marvel's The Runaways is about a group of high school students who some of them have powers, some of them have gadgets.
And they find out that their parents are potentially evil.
Yes, their parents are all part of Pride, which is not
just
like...
Remember, we didn't watch all of the episodes.
They mentioned Pride, right?
Yeah, Pride is right from the beginning.
Right from the beginning. So,
members
of Pride, and they're thinking that Pride isn't a great organization, and we're not talking like Pride Parade or anything like that. We're talking... stands for something, and I can't remember what it stands for.
I don't think we've gotten to the point... In the third episode, we haven't gotten to the point where they...
Is that where you guys went up to third episode?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
How many did you watch?
I think I'm like at 7 or 8.
Yeah.
No, I'm at like 4 or 5, but I think Matt's only up to 3. So.
Okay, so there's only 10 episodes right now. I think that's the whole season is the 10 episodes.
Yeah, 10 episodes.
Yeah. So, yeah,
it's
watched
been
the
renewed
entire
for
season.
13, though, with the second season when it starts back up. So,
yeah, so the very first episode is called Reunion. And basically, it starts on a day when it's the anniversary of the death of one of the teenagers. And the individuals have not...
They've not spoken since...
Yeah,
really
they were kind of like a group of friends... But they were friends because their parents were friends, because all their parents were in these Pride things. And one of the boys is lonely and trying to get them back together. And then various things. I like the way that this was done. So we have the first episode, which is called Reunion. And it does end up with all of the teenagers coming
back
together. And they're coming back together for different reasons. And then... they find their parents doing something unexpected and they don't know how to process that information. And then we go into episode 2, which is called Rewind, where we see the same things happening, but from the parents' perspective, and we see what they were doing, as well as the kids trying to find out a little bit more about what happened.
So we're going to get into a little spoilers for the first 3 episodes. So if you haven't watched the first 3 episodes, you know, go watch it because it's actually a very good show.
And then come back.
But
it is based on a comic book series some years back. That anyway, so it's, and I think so far it's pretty faithful. They didn't really change a ton, other than one character. They kind of made him a little bit different, but I think in a cool way. So
yeah, so the kids are Alex, who is your typical computer nerd, Nico, whose sister was the one who actually died.
And she's the goth girl.
Carolina, whose mother is head of a church, so she's kind of the good girl.
Yeah, she's the blonde, blue-eyed.
Yes. Gert, who's my favorite character. And not because she has purple hair.
But she's the feminist.
She's the feminist and the liberal. Chase, who is the jock.
My favorite.
Yes. And Molly, who is Gert's adopted sister. Her parents were part of Pride.
And died.
And died in a car. Well, died
in a
fire. So, so in the first episode, Alex is trying to get the group back together and back to being friends again. And when they all end up at Alex's house, they happen upon
a
secret room.
Yes.
Where they see their parents apparently sacrificing a young girl.
As you something. Do.
As yeah. You know, you do that on Friday nights sometimes. You kind of just sacrifice a virgin sometimes.
So Alex, who's the nerd, his parents, his mom is a successful attorney and his father's a successful real estate developer. But we also know that his father comes from the other side of the tracks and was part of the gang.
Was in jail for a while.
Yeah. And then Gert and Molly, their parents, an adoptive parent, are scientists, and they're kind of the nerdy ones of the group.
The goofy, yeah.
Yeah, they've got a lab in their basement with a bunch of animals that they're feeding and testing and all that kind of stuff. And
a very cool pet, yes.
A very cool pet that I don't know if that pet has shown up by episode 3.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so yeah, Old Lace has shown up.
Yes, which was one of my favorite characters. In the
he's
comic
not
book
explained
too,
at yeah. that point by episode 3, but we do see that there is a dinosaur type kind of character down there. So
yes, that has a special connection with Gert.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Nico's parents are part of the lab, but they're much more smart home computer kind of people.
Yeah. Her mother came up with, I can't remember what the name of the actual computer. It's like Siri for your home.
Right. Where the whole home is.
The whole home is computerized.
And then Chase's dad is this brilliant scientist inventory type. So the parent, and then of course, like Carolina's mom is the head of the church, and her dad or stepdad is an actor, Hollywood washed up B actor type. So he was one of those teenage idol people, and yes. Now he's old. So
which is actually true of Kip Purdue.
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting. James Marsters is probably the most recognizable dad, although the mom of Molly and Gert, she was in Homefront and a couple other TV series, but not in a role like this. She was in more serious kind of roles. I think she was in ER for a while or something.
The father of Molly and Gert is from like the J.J. Abrams universe. He shows up in Felicity and... He was part of Alias.
Yes.
So he was, and he's always plays like a sort of sarcastic, nice guy character. So I really like him.
Yeah. Probably Molly and Gert's parents are my favorite parents of the group.
Well, they seem like the nicest people.
Real people.
And genuinely.
Well, and Alex's dad, even though he was in jail, he seems like the one that's like genuinely... So far. Genuinely interested in his son. I feel like all the parents, well, the majority of the parents actually care about their kids, but they're doing this other thing. So
it is a little weird because I didn't know anything about this. So I did do like a sort of cursory Google search as to like, what is the Runaways? And just on a very basic level, it was like a group of kids discover their parents are supervillains. And it is sort of interesting, like, going into that, like, and having that
knowledge.
That knowledge, and then sort of seeing the way that the show has played out, and kind of, like, I get that they're, you know, within these first three episodes, I get that they're doing bad things, but they genuinely seem like loving parents and things like that. So it's a little like, I'm not sure I buy the super villain part at this point, other than the fact that they are in this situation.
Chase's dad, I mean, it's made very clear in the first episode that he's abusive.
Yeah.
And so Chase is actually, like, each of the children have gone through some kind of defensive strategy. So, like, Chase's dad evidently used to beat him. So he has gone
and the mom.
And so he's gone out of his way to bodybuild and become a jock. But really, he's got the same kind of scientific brilliance that his dad did.
Yeah. And he's just kind of hiding that. And because one, I don't think he feels he can compete with his dad, who is this award winning scientist and who is just out of touch. And I don't know. Well, I've seen the entire series. I'll hold that thought. Because I've seen the entire season.
Well, I think it's interesting. James Marsters was saying that he kind of based it off, what if Dr. Doom was this dad and kind of lived in Los Angeles? or, you know,
that's
lived
a good
in a
representation,
suburbia,
actually. Yeah.
And had to like withhold his anger as much as he could, and just how horribly wrong that would go. And it kind of is that, because you can see, I mean, he's just right on the edge of, you know, you could see like he very easily can strike his son. And
he really is. He so. Plays the role really, really well, yeah. Because you really do feel like this, oh shit, kind of, yeah, thing. Like, he's scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. He's shoving, you know, the first episode, he shoves a fork into the table right by his son. And it's like, whoa, yeah.
This, yeah, is getting a little. And all of the parents are millionaires.
Yeah.
Yeah, that part's a little. But.
Yeah, except for Gert's parents don't seem to be millionaires, although they do have extensive lab setup.
And a well, really nice Volvo.
Yeah. And you find out later on, I think it's in episode 3, that maybe they've put their money in other things.
In other things, yeah, because they were planning on leaving. They wanted to actually
go
and get out of town.
And then their big breakthrough in episode 3 kind of implies that they're about to finally have a huge payday. That,
yeah.
Just, yeah. Anyway,
so this show is produced by Josh Schwartz, who is of the OC fame. So
there you go.
After I realized that, I was like, okay, the fact that all these people are rich and in California make complete sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like his sort of go-to.
Right, right.
I think one of the interesting things is right from the very... So I watched four or five episodes so far. And then Matt hadn't watched any at all. So he went back and I watched the first episode with him. And so watching the first episode a second time after getting as far as I had, even though I've not finished the series, it was interesting to go back and see things that I think when you're just trying to absorb the plot, mm-hmm, you don't see the first time. So the fact that it starts with Jasmine, who's the runaway girl,
mm-hmm,
in the very beginning.
Destiny,
sorry. Why do I always say? Anyway, the fact that you start with her and you think about that is one thing. And then the whole thing with Molly. So Molly ends up in the very first episode, she's got cramps. and she thinks it's the time of the month. But her parents, being the adopted scientist folks, are all about make sure you do your breathing exercise, yeah, and make sure you're drinking the chai tea and it's good for you, or the ginger tea that I made you, or whatever it was, and all this kind of stuff. And so she's trying out for a dance team and she ends up having these major pains in her stomach. So she ends up going to the nurse's office, and while she's in there, she feels this incredible pain, and the nurse asks her, you know, did your mom have really bad cramps? She goes, I don't know. They died when I was like 3 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that she has a superpower, but every time she tries to tell somebody what's happening, because she's the little one, nobody's listening to her. And when things happen, when she uses this strength that she has, she ends up, like, there's always a reason why they're not focused on that. Yeah. Like, there's a time when they're trying to open a door and they can't, and they think they're about to get caught. And so they're all pushing against the door at once. And then she kind of comes through and pushes on the door, but they all fall out at the same time. So they all assume it's because they used group force. And then she falls asleep afterwards and they think, oh, she's a little kid. She doesn't understand the impact of what she's done, that she could just fall asleep. So I thought that was interesting. So I like the character of Molly. I like Gert too. But I like the character of Molly because I keep wanting them to pay attention to her, and it's obvious they're not. And I like Alex as well. Kiko was a little the craft for me on the...
Yeah, Nico's very... It's very... And this is probably my only fault with the show. It is geared toward teenagers, so I understand, yeah, it, but it's very stereotypical.
Is that why you said I would like it?
No. I found it to be very stereotypical. Nico's a very stereotypical goth in that...
Nobody understands her.
Nobody understands her. Her makeup is always perfect. I mean, good God, I can't even imagine how much time she spends doing her makeup. But her hair is always perfect, and it's always perfect gothiness.
Right.
So to me, that was a little...
But I could see that with as much as her mom is always on point and perfect.
Yeah.
It's just a different version.
Yeah, but it just seems like everybody is so...
whoever they are, they're
very 100%. Stereotypical. Yeah, it's a very stereotypical thing. Alex is a computer nerd, so of course he knows how to hack into just about anything.
You know? And he has glasses.
And he has glasses, yes. And kid and play hair for some strange reason.
I hate his hair.
That is actually from the comic book. I don't think that's the actor. I think that is taken directly from the comic book.
I'm like, can you cut that?
Well, I'll say, like, Nico, she was actually Wiccan in the comic.
They go into that later on in the season, but she is actually Wiccan.
Yeah, but she was just very much more pronounced, and which helped her with the staff and everything. But
yeah, but it just seems they all just seems a little bit stereotypical.
Yeah,
I always wonder when you have a season like this, if like once now that the season's renewed, if they'll actually allow them to settle in their skins.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like it's kind of like when a little kid is like, I'm a fireman. And so he has to walk around like he's a fireman. And, you know, so like when you're playing, you want to make sure that people know who you are. And I feel like whoever did the writers are like, well, we have to represent these comic book characters that are bright and larger than life.
Yeah.
Because it's graphic, you know, it's pictures and more pictures, less words. So therefore, now that they're adding more words, they've got to keep it very much that thing.
Yeah. So,
but
Gert has to have, you know, feminist agenda, like extraordinaire, is like sign my petition down with the patriarchy.
Yeah, but then when she ended up with people, she didn't know what to do with
them. It's like, oh, I have followers.
Yeah, the situation with Gert and Chase and the way that she so quickly gives in whenever he wants something and they're friends all of a sudden, that was a little artificial for me. Of course, as you go along, it makes more sense.
Yeah.
But yeah,
not to give anything away, because I know that we have only seen so many episodes, but like there are other, I think, times when things like where it's just kind of like all of a sudden this is the case. And it's like, where the fuck did that come from? You know, like, oh, okay. Like, I get maybe this was supposed to be a secret, but there's been no indication of this thus far.
Yeah.
And the show has, like, to your kind of point, Joey, like, settling in their skins, and maybe that's what it is I like the show overall. Obviously, I watch more than I said I would, but it has a weird vibe to it. Like, and maybe it's because it's aimed at teenagers and I am not a teenager. Yeah. Like, there's just something. It doesn't play out the way, like, the OC did. And so, granted, it's different. It's just, like, it seems like almost like the best way I can describe it is like sort of low budget, but it's clearly not. But it's just sort of like community theater. It's like, not that they're bad actors. I don't know really how to express. You know what
I'm
saying?
Do you think it has anything to do with the fact that this is a Hulu production versus a Netflix production?
Maybe they haven't. But then again,
because the vein is very different.
It is. This is more brighter. Netflix is, I mean, their Marvel shows are very dark and very adult and very. This is a far.
I mean, they definitely hit the teen angsty things where, you know, you've got the potential roofie situation happening, and you've got, you know, the cyber bullying, and you know, you've got all those typical angsty teenager situations happening, but then you also have the parents on a different level. So
that's a good point, by the way. That might exactly be it. It might be that, like, if this was on Netflix, even though the show is about like quippy, sarcastic kids or whatever, it would still be like dark somehow. Whereas this show is,
it would be more
very
Buffy. It would be more Buffy. Buffy, I thought, was always very quippy, but it had that dark side to it.
Right. Exactly.
That, this doesn't.
Whereas this isn't that dark. Even the like biggest villain is like, oh, okay.
Yeah, and by the third episode, I don't think they've really gone into the villain all that much, so I don't want to say a whole lot. Mm-hmm. I was also a little bit disappointed with the villain, because I just I personally think the parents are a far more effective villain than the actual villain himself.
Yeah, they do finally show more of them in episode 3. And the guy who came up with the whole concept years ago, Marvel recruited him. He was a playwright, I believe, in New York City. So he was kind of coming from that. So that's why you have so many characters, too, which is pretty common for a play. But for a comic book at the time, think about it. You have the kids, you have all their parents. It's a shitload of characters to try to have any kind of depth to. And I think they really did in those first three episodes. Yeah. It's like, I don't know how they did it.
Characters, because I actually do like all of the characters, even though I find Nico very stereotypical. Yeah, I still enjoy.
She's the least likable for me personally, but yes, you still are rooting for her and understand how it must be to grow up in a house with this perfectionist mother that's sort of cruel in her lack of emotion. And then to lose a sister and all the stuff. Yeah, so, I mean,
Nico's dad is hot, though.
For real, though.
I know. For real. That white and black striped sweater, which I realize is very J. Crew, is probably straight from the comic book pages.
I will say, one of my favorite things that really kind of threw me off at first was the music, like the score in the background. It's sort of like Blade Runner-ish. Blade Runner.
No other of these shows
is doing anything like that as far as music. It's almost like, it's not even like Stranger Things, because Stranger Things uses popular music. But this is like this weird Blade Runner. So you have this really bright, it's almost like you have a high contrast image and then you have the Blade Runner music going. To me, and I was just like, wow, that's kind of cool, because it sets
a weird tone. It sets it slightly askew from too bright. Yeah. I actually forgot what the music was, and I heard you listening to it in the other room, and I was like, what is he watching? I know that music.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, yeah, that's the Runaway music. So, yeah, I thought it was really interesting, and I definitely will continue to watch it and finish it off. It was one of those things where I could watch one or two episodes, not from a gore perspective. Sometimes it wasn't like I had to have a palate cleanser.
Oh, no.
But I think it was like, because it is about teenagers, and each episode is an hour. And it is a full hour commercial free that I was just like, okay, I need a sec. Chase was a werewolf on Wizards of Waverly Place, which is a Disney Channel show. And he also played British when he did that, which was
British.
Yeah, but he's not in this.
He's from California.
So, yeah.
And he is hot as fuck for those of you who are wondering.
The younger people.
He is an adult in real life, so he is hot as fuck. And the fact that when I read that he was British as well makes him even hotter.
Yeah, and then Gert was in the One Day at a Time reboot on Netflix that I've watched. She was in season one, and she played a goth the first year.
Oh my God.
So she had the black hair, and she had the very monotone voice where she'd be like, I'm kind of obsessed with your mom, you know, and she had the black lipstick and the whole nine yards. So she played a very different character. She played more kind of a Dreama character or Ashley Johnson type of character. And if you don't know who that is, that's not going to help you.
No, I don't.
Nope.
But she had much more of, it was just much more goth. And of course that was, the One Day at a Time Netflix series is in a Cuban American reboot of the series. So, which is great. I mean, Rita Moreno is life. Rita Moreno. So,
and I will say, I like the cast a lot. It is very deliberately diverse. And I don't know, my Hulu
diversity
does have,
101.
My Hulu does have commercials. I don't pay for the ultra premium, and every commercial break had a Visit LA, basically a tourism commercial where they would have the cast talk about what a diverse and wonderful place Los Angeles is.
The
Runaways cast, yes, would talk about how you could walk through different neighborhoods and get five different cultures and how diverse Los Angeles was. So that got kind of old, but
Chase talk as a British person?
No, he didn't. He kept his Runaways accent, which was I thought was kind of odd.
Because you're talking about diversity,
yeah. but so
maybe they didn't want him to come out of character.
I don't think they wanted him to come out of too much out of character.
Yeah.
But I mean, I enjoyed it. I watched the entire season.
So would you watch season two when it comes
absolutely
out?
Absolutely. Yes.
Are you going to finish this season?
I am. Yeah. I think it's moving along quickly.
I will too. Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely will too. So what other things have you guys been watching? Let's talk a little bit about that before we.
Two shows, and I'm hoping one of these shows shows up on as a full discussion. Philip K. Dick's Electric Dreams, which is an Amazon Prime show. It's an anthology series. Really good. really good. Like any anthology series, has good episodes and not quite so as great episodes, but I haven't hit a bad episode yet. And I think I'm 6 or 7 episodes in. And then Altered Carbon, which just came on Netflix, which may be a little bit hard for Joey.
Everyone's so protective of my little...
We are.
But also very good, very Blade Runner-esque. I'm only a couple episodes into that one, but I'm going to continue watching that one and probably pick up the book because it's a series of books. But that one's a bit more violent, I would say. But both of these are very cyberpunkish. It's Philip K. Dick, obviously. He wrote Blade Runner, so
yeah.
And all of the anthology with the Electric Dreams, all of those episodes are based on his short stories.
So what grades would you give them?
Phil K. Dick's Electric Dreams, I'd probably give an A. I really like this. This is like a cyberpunk Black Mirror type show. Altered Carbon, right now it's sitting at B. It depends on how the rest of the season goes for me, but I'm only a couple episodes into that.
Cool.
Tiffany?
So I've been on a mad tear watching TV shows, but some things I wanted to recommend were on Amazon, the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which is brought to us by Amy Sherman Palladino, creator of the Gilmore Girls. This is definitely a similar show in the sense that it's like about a powerful female character, but much, much grittier in the sense that, not gritty from like a, oh, this is Daredevil type thing, but from a, she cusses and she's much more vulgar, right, because it's a cable show.
She doesn't slam heads in car doors.
No, nothing like that. In fact, it's an incredibly pretty show where it's all very refined and everything like that. But it was not a show that I would typically gravitate towards, but my hairdresser actually was like, oh, this is such a good show. And I got hooked right away. It's cool. A really great show. Very funny. The End of the Fucking World, which Carol will love the show. You need to watch
it's on
that.
It's on my watch list. I was going to watch it after I finished Altered Carbon.
It's super fast because it's like it's a half-hour show. Yeah. It's British, and it's really only got not many, very many episodes.
It's a typical British show, I think. I think it only has like 8.
Yeah, usually a sitcom has like what, 6 or 8.
6 or 8.
So this is definitely a dark comedy. Like it's the premise of it, which I'm not giving anything away, is that there's a high school kid who has been murdering animals and decides that he would like to murder a human and see how that feels. And this kind of rough around the edges teenage girl takes a liking to him and decides she's in love with him, and they decide to run away together. And it's sort of how their characters evolve. This show is fucked up on so many levels, like unbelievable, but it is really, really, really funny and really good, I have to say. So check it out on Netflix.
Yeah, my hesitation was because I knew that he hurt animals, and I have this thing where
you only see it in one scene, but even then it's just sort of like, because you know me, I'm the same way.
Yeah,
but
could kill humans.
Yeah.
I don't care, but
yeah. Man,
kill 50 humans, kill a puppy, no.
Yeah, John Wick, no. It's like, yeah, you hurt a puppy, you kill all them motherfuckers.
I'm with you, but you know, if you can kind of get over that one little aspect of it's good.
The trailer was kind of a very dark, funny.
It's very point. And it's very, yeah, monotone, like hello, how are you, kind of a thing. But with British, yeah, people, but it is really funny, I have to say. This is not an unknown show, but I do want to recommend for people who wouldn't gravitate towards it, which would be The Crown on Netflix. It is. If someone's starting it from the very, very beginning, from season one, there's 2 seasons now.
Oh, okay.
I would say the first 3 episodes of the first season are kind of hard to get into it. Mm-hmm. But once you get past those first 3 episodes, it's just magic. Beautifully, beautifully done. The acting is phenomenal. The sets are phenomenal. And I just cannot say higher praise for the show. And finally, on NBC, there's a show called Great News. And so you can watch the first season on the NBC app. Second season's on Hulu, and there's only 2 seasons, and it's apparently one of those shows that's in jeopardy of being canceled. And it is really such a funny show. And I say that as somebody who doesn't typically like network shows, because I enjoy cussing and mature subject matter, but it's basically about a girl who has this overbearing mother, and she's a TV producer on a news show, and her mom decides to become an elderly sort of intern on the show. And so it's the whole group of people who work on the show. And it is just terribly, terribly funny. So I would say check it out.
Cool.
Awesome. Matt, what have you been watching?
So I've been catching up. So this is kind of, and I was like, why do I have all this, like, this free time at night now? And I'm like, oh yeah, the cons haven't started, and
yeah,
the gala.
I'm like, wait a second, this is why I actually can watch some of this stuff. Yeah, so I've been catching up on Silicon Valley. I'm on season 4, and just loving it. Show. It's just so so good, so well done.
That guy fucks.
Oh my god. Was it Gilmore or whatever,
which is fine.
Gilfoyle.
Oh my god,
I am definitely Gilfoyle. Oh.
Definitely, Martin Starr is my spirit animal.
He's amazing.
It's fine that he watches it, and I actually enjoy watching it with him. It's when I fall asleep next to him, and all of a sudden, one of them's like, "What the fuck?" Like
T.J. Miller.
Oh my god,
T.J. Miller.
So like, all of a sudden, there's a commercial on, like how the volume just goes crazy. It's T.J. Miller all the time. I'm like, damn it, I should know better. And I watched this whole series on Netflix. It was based on a, it's the translation is Erased, but it was actually based on some anime, which was based on a manga. It keeps going back and back. But it's a Korean show involving a little bit of time travel, but it's done really interestingly, where the guy time travels. He has no control over it, but he goes back and he's in his younger self's body, who is a kid in school, like elementary school. And so it's like he's a 19, 20-year-old, and all of a sudden he's...
Is this a live action or is it anime?
This is live action. There was actually an anime of it as well, but this is the live action one. But the acting is just like kick-ass. The sets are all... It's got to be done in a school. I mean, everything is just like real life. Again, South Korea, so you have to read subtitles. But they actually do them. I think they're yellow, so you can actually read them, no matter what the picture is. So, the ones do white, and it's always gray. I'm like, yeah. I can't watch this. But anyway, really good show, and I love time travel anyway. But it's really smartly, intelligently done, and like the guy who is the time traveler retains all his memories, so it's very kind of like wow. So he has basically these alternate realities that he's created, but it's not so far to whack like Back to the Future or something like that. It's more realistic, just like little changes and how that impacts people around them, but it's so good. But
and what about you, Joey?
So
I've been watching a couple different things. I did watch the second season of One Day at a Time, which is again the reboot, and it's done from a Cuban-American family. The mother,
I like the theme song.
Yeah, the theme song is done by
Gloria Estefan.
Oh, I had a moment. Gloria Estefan. And I actually make Alexa play it every once in a while. Yeah, it's just a really, you know, it's that whole Miami Sound Machine kind of effect. Rita Moreno plays the matriarch, which is hilarious because she's really Puerto Rican, but she plays this Cuban mother, like, amazing. And then the mother is a now single mother, former vet of... she was over in the Gulf War and she had an injury from there and she has post-traumatic stress disorder. And then she's raising her two kids, her son. And then, who's a typical, but like, he's like the baby of the family and, you know, he's the apple of his grandmother's eye and all this kind of stuff. And he thinks he's fly and all this stuff. And then, the daughter is actually, dealing with, gender identity issues and trying to figure out her associations and just navigating, and then decides by the end of the first season, she decides that she's gay. And because she wasn't sure if she was gay or she was bi or what she was and this whole thing. So I streamed it in a day, but I did it while I was doing other things. And I have to say this. So even though I streamed it in a day, I found this season to be a lot more social justice warrior messaging. There's an understood element, and first of all, Rita Moreno plays a very stereotypical Cuban grandmother, so she's got the accent and the whole nine yards, so you have to kind of be careful with that, but it is that kind of larger than life stereotypical positioning of sitcom characters, so it's a lot more that 80s style sitcom. So there was the angsty messaging every episode where it's like, this is what bullying's all about. And this is what, you know, this is that. However, Rita Moreno is life. She just, every scene that she's in, she steals it. And she actually, she's just so brilliant. I mean, she's just such a brilliant actor. And the cliffhanger has to deal with, you know, the fact that she's got health issues. And so there's that, will she or won't she, you know, make it? And yeah, it was gorgeous. It was beautiful. Anyway, so that was life. But the other thing that we watched was Black Lightning, and we watched it together. Mm-hmm. So this is a CW show. It is in the same universe technically as Flash and Arrow and all that kind of stuff, but it's a much different take. It's more Arrow than Flash or Supergirl. It's not as bright as Supergirl and Flash are. It's very much more dark, and I would say it's darker than Arrow, although, you know, there's death in Arrow, but death in Arrow is a much more cartoony, and this is more real world. Cress Meadows is the lead actor, and you would know him from a bunch of things. He was in Never Been Kissed. He was in some other shows, but the one that I know him from is Living Single. He played Scooter, which was Queen Latifah's boyfriend, and I loved him there. So I was very excited about that. But the first three episodes were on CW. Go on their app and watch it for free. They establish right from the very beginning that this is going to be real and gritty and raw, and it pretty much is. I mean, there's still that whole, this is a fictionalized story thing. It's not so, but there's death and there's bad things happening, and it's very clear from the start. James Remar is, plays a pivotal role. He is kind of the Alfred to Cress Meadows' Black Lightning. I thought it was really good. We watched all three episodes one after another. Our friend was over. We watched the first episode with him, and then he was like, I got to get going. And we're like, okay, yeah, bye. And then we watched the other two episodes back to back. So where I normally have to take little breaks and chasers, this wasn't like that. One of the things that was very realistic was the fact that it, like, even though he's a superhero, he definitely gets hurt and he has recovery issues and stuff like that. So
he gets stabbed, he gets shot. So it is closer to Arrow, I would say, without any supernatural elements that Arrow has kind of gone through. And
yeah. He has two younger daughters, and one of his younger daughters is China. And she was in the Ant Farm and a couple different other Disney properties. So again, these Disney kids go right into superhero stories. But what did you think of it?
I really liked it. I had read the Black Lightning comic books back in the day, which were very gritty when he first arrived. And then he went on to be part of this team called Batman and the Outsiders, which was basically Batman said, screw you, Justice League, I'm leaving. Which, if they have a new Batman actor, maybe that will happen. in the DCU. what I liked about it is they made a spin on it that basically Black Lightning hasn't been Black Lightning for a number of years. A number of years, and he comes out of retirement. So it's kind of a different take, and he does it because basically, I won't give it away, but basically something to do with his daughters. So
yeah.
It's kind
of. And his daughters, or at least one of them apparently, may have some superpowers as well, and so she's dealing with that. So I thought it was really good. I really enjoyed it. So I would definitely give that an A so far. I'm interested in watching more. Yeah. Very excited about it. One Day at a Time, I'd give more like a B-. If you're looking for background music, it's great. But I wouldn't necessarily call it highbrow intelligent watching.
I will say there's a show that you watch that I don't watch all of them. It's a little too much for me, but it's super well done. The Midwife.
Call the Midwife. That was going to be my third one.
That
one's an A all the way. Yeah. It's a British television show. It's written based on the memoirs of a real life midwife during post-World War II. Her name was Jenny Lee, and then she became Jennifer Worth. But it's really good, yeah. And I love it. And that's another one where I can watch two or three episodes. But because it's British, it's not, the seasons are not as long. It's not 23 episodes. It's like 12.
Yeah.
So it's really good. I would definitely recommend that. Not sci-fi, but it definitely has a lot of interesting stuff in it. So I enjoy it.
If I could throw one more out there, if you have Shudder, which is a horror channel.
Yeah.
Neil Gaiman's Likely Stories. There's only 4 episodes to it, but they're all very creepy and they're all very, very good. It's Neil Gaiman, so they're all obviously all really, really good. But that is a Shudder original, so you have to have Shudder to actually see that.
But you can get Shudder on your Roku, right?
Yes, you can. It is a premium channel. You do have to pay for it.
Oh.
But good to know. Yeah, as a horror movie buff, I paid for it because it's it's a relatively inexpensive channel. And I watch a lot of horror movies, but I saw that this was like their first original show and I was like, okay, it's got Neil Gaiman's name attached to it. I have to watch this. But yeah, there's only 4 episodes. It's actually really good.
Cool.
Well, I would definitely check that out then. Yeah. So next week is going to be book week because the week after that we are going to all watch Black Panther. So make sure you check back with us. And if you didn't go to listen to episode 200, it is a train wreck of hilarity.
Oh, my God.
Thanks to Tanya and Brandon for hanging around with us for our 200th episode. And
our book for next week is?
The Disaster Artist by Greg Sestero.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Well, hi, Mark.
Goodbye.
Bye, Mark.
Don't worry about it.
Thank you for listening to Guardians of the Geekery. For more information, go to guardiansofthegeekery.com. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/guardiansofthegeekery and on Twitter at CLTGOG. Music used by Guardians of the Geekery, Lock and Load, and A Day in the Sun by Jens Kilstofta. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International.